going to read James 2, 14 through 18. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.
If I could have you stand back up again. Just joking. We are blessed to have our speaker today, Pastor Manny Garcia. Manny is a graduate of Barclay College, both the undergrad and the master's program. You were a year or so ahead of me, but a wonderful influence and a person that I consider a friend. He is the pastor at Northridge Friends Church in Wichita, and on the cusp of some great things happening there in terms of both the surrounding communities and also the greater area of Wichita regarding Quaker and Friends ministry. And you are taking a quick time out, but after you get adjusted at Northridge, you are going to restart your Doctor of Ministry program at George Fox. And so a lot of good stuff. We are thrilled to have him here to share God's word with us. So will you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I ask that you be with our speaker. Help bless his words, his voice, his exposition of the word. And Father, please bless us as we sit, as we listen, but more importantly, that we go out and do what it says. Be with us in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's welcome Manny Garcia.
Derek stole my joke. I was going to ask you all to stand up, but I guess I won't do that now. Actually, as I was sitting there, I just realized that it was 10 years ago this fall. I was sitting where you sit as a freshman, 2005. I came from a shampoo warehouse is where I was working before God called me to Barclay. I was driving a forklift and loading trucks full of shampoo that was shipped off to different salons around the world, actually. So God can call us out anywhere, I guess. So, but Barclay College is a very special place to me. I love what God does here. I love that he calls students from all over the world, really. Now, I mean, this is an international school now, and just loves on them and prepares them for ministry. It's exciting. This is the place where I really learned about who God is, who he created me to be, the gifts and talents that he blesses us with to be able to go out into the world and really represent him as ambassadors in the world, representing the kingdom, taking that message of hope to people. And so it's excited to come back and share a word with you this morning. You know, as I think back on my time here, though, I think I could have probably spent it learning a bunch of stuff and not doing anything with it. I could have come here and got really smart and knew a lot of Bible and a lot of theology and used that to kind of lord over people and sound really intelligent when I have conversations and use words like Derek just exposit. And, you know, fancy words like that. And sadly, I think sometimes that's what happens when we go to institutions like this or even when we spend our whole lives growing up in churches. We learn a lot of stuff and don't necessarily do anything with it. It's kind of the stuff that makes us feel elevated and smart and educated, and we put our identity in the education, the information, rather than in Christ where it belongs. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning, because I really think that this is a place where you can come and be with God. This is a place where you can come and experience who he is in a community of other people who are trying to experience that very same thing, to be taught by professors and teachers and leaders who experience God on a regular basis, who have a legacy and a lifetime of devoting themselves to the Lord and his will and his purpose. And so You know, this legacy of hearing the word and responding to it with action is one that's told over and over and over again in Scripture. And it's one that makes up the history of the church. And really, that legacy is the reason that you and I can even be here today. Because somebody spent time with the Lord, heard his word, responded to his will, and shared that in some way with you, with me. That's the reason that I was able to come out of the driving a forklift to the shampoo warehouse, ended up at Barclay College, and start the journey that God took me on that eventually led me to where I'm at now at Northridge. And so I really think the story of spending time with God, of being with him, of responding to his will, of learning the people that he created us to be, of discovering that, is one of action. It's one of hearing him speak. It's one of feeling his presence with us, of being equipped by the Holy Spirit, and then responding with action. And so our reader this morning read from James 2. I'm gonna go back a little bit and start at the end of James chapter 1. I think there's some slides somewhere. Maybe. If not, it's fine. There we go. I don't have the thing, so you'll have to help me out. There we go. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. I think one of the things that James is trying to tell us through this whole kind of explanation of, you know, looking at the word like a mirror and not really forgetting what it says, but actually doing, I think one of the things that he's trying to get across is that a lot of times our resources tend to reach farther than our obedience. Access is not a problem for us. I've got dozens of versions of the Bible right here on this iPad. You probably all have a phone in your pocket that you can access Bibles and commentaries and blogs and books and all the resources that you would ever need to understand Scripture. Access is not an issue for us. The issue is, at what point do radical words become radical action? At what point do the radical words we read in Scripture, the things that we say that we believe, the things that we hang our hat on, so to speak, when it comes to our faith, when does that become action? When do we live in those truths? Truth acted upon inspires transformation. So is truth without application deformation? Are we deformed in some spiritual way if we take in all this truth but we never act on it? Eugene Peterson says in his book, Eat This Book, which talks about the transformative reading of Scripture, it says, not that Christians don't own their Bibles and not that Christians don't believe that their Bibles are the Word of God. What is neglected is reading the Scripture formatively, reading in order to live. We can read for information. And that's a lot of what we do. We read and we take in this knowledge and we feel good because we know something new. But if we don't ever do anything with it, it's kind of a waste. We should read the Scriptures so that we might live, so that we can come fully alive in who Christ created us to be. We live in a time of spiritual obesity, where knowing Scripture, behavior modification, and sin avoidance seem to be sufficient, right? These are the things that we pat ourselves on the back for doing. I know a few scriptures, I can quote them. I'm in church every Sunday. I'm good more than I'm not, and that's good enough. But James teaches that our own standards, our own paradigms, our own way of measuring our spirituality is not necessarily the scale that we should be measuring ourselves with. Instead, he tells us that the word is like a mirror. You guys remember those magic eye pictures? You know what I'm talking about? They have like the pattern on them, and then you're supposed to stare at them for a really long time, and then like a picture's behind them. You guys know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever able to see the picture in those things? Like there was like maybe like a shark or a rabbit or something in the background. I have a theory about those pictures and the people that say they can see them. I think you're all liars. But sometimes this is how we look at Scripture, right? We sit there and we stare at it, and we kind of turn it, and we try to look at it with just the right angle so that it can just affirm what I want it to say, so that I can be content with the way that I'm living. Sometimes we lean too heavily on the grace side. Sometimes we lean too heavily on the truth side. But really, we're called, as Christ was, to have the fullness of grace and truth, which is a really, really difficult balance. And it's impossible to do on our own. Looking at Scripture like a magic eye puzzle and expecting a 3D Jesus to pop out is not necessarily the best approach when it comes to looking at the Word for transformation of our life. God's Word is simple, but it's not simplistic. It's mysterious, but it's not confusing. We should approach His Word like we approach a mirror. When you look in a mirror, the purpose is to accurately reflect what you look like, to look at it and see who you are. There are certain people in my family that spend a lot of time in front of the mirror. Then there are others who spend some time like flexing and doing stuff like this. I won't tell you which is which. But what the Word does, what Scripture does, is it gives us an accurate view of what's there. How many of you looked in the mirror this morning when you got ready? We can tell those of you that didn't. But the primary purpose of God's Word is like that of a mirror. It's to reveal who we are in light of who God is. To reveal who we are in light of who God is. And while God's Word is our mirror, the world around us can be kind of like a funhouse mirror. It can offer back a distorted image to us. Distorted image about who we are based on our circumstances. Or who we are based on the opinions of those around us. It offers half-truths and flat-out lies about who you are and who God is. But the Word of God shows you who you really are in light of who God really is. And who you are is God's beloved. God delights in you. God loves you. God desires abundant life for you. You've heard the saying that you become what you behold. Well, if you behold the truth of God, then truth begins to emerge from who you are. So we have to learn what God's Word says, but it's vital that that only be the beginning. Then we have to do something with it. We have to be a doer of the Word, as James says. Because looking in the mirror doesn't make you any prettier, does it? You actually have to respond to what you see there. If I look in the mirror and I've got a booger in my nose or crumbs in my beard, just seeing that reality doesn't change that reality. I have to act upon it. And God's Word's the same way. When you read God's Word and you read about the kind of person that He created you to be, the kind of life that He desires for you to live, that's not enough. Then you have to respond to it. You have to act upon it. Looking in a mirror doesn't change the way you look. And Scripture does not change your life. By itself, Scripture is just a bunch of words on a bunch of pages. The application of Scripture through the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that's what changes your life. It's more than knowing what it says. We have to move from knowing to doing, from information to transformation. You're learning a great deal here at Barclay College about God's will, God's nature, His love for you. But are you doing anything with it? Are you acting upon what you see? Are you expecting the information alone to make some kind of magical difference in your life? The mirror only provides you with the context. You have to choose to respond to it. Hearing the Word of God doesn't make you any more Christ-like than looking in a mirror makes you more pretty. We have to take it in. so that its focal point, who is Jesus Christ, the Word, the living Word, can emerge more and more in our lives every day. Richard Foster explains that the Bible is the means through which we are introduced to Jesus and invited to follow him in this life of humility and service. So in short, we have to be a doer of the written word while walking closely and following and learning from the living word. He is the stimulus of our application. Knowing the written word and responding to the living word, he is the stimulus to our application. And then we have to evade deception. James warns us not to be deceived. Have you ever seen anyone that's deceived themselves? You ever watch American Idol? There's a lot of people that are deceiving themselves on that show. They go on and they talk about how they've been singing their whole life, and you know, their mom and their grandma and everybody that they love has told them that they're wonderful, and then they open their voice and not so wonderful. It's like everybody knows but them. And when we deceive ourselves, it's kind of the same way. It's like we talk about all this stuff that we believe in. We talk about how strong our faith is, how much we love the Lord, how much we desire to follow him, but our lives don't reflect what we're talking about. We're deceiving ourselves. And everybody around it sees it. The word doesn't change us unless we apply it, unless we do what it says. So we have to take the word and study the word and meditate on the word, and then we have to apply the word. And it's not really even about how much word you know. When I came to Barclay College in 2005, it was embarrassing how little Bible I knew. I was ashamed. I didn't want to answer any questions in class because I didn't know any of the scriptures and didn't even know the books of the Bible in order, let alone what they were out of order. But in Iowa, I met a guy that used to help get scripture to places that it was illegal to have scripture. And what they would do was, he would work in a place, it was a school, and they would send little sheets of paper with like 3 or 4 verses on them, home with the fellow teachers and sometimes with the students, depending on how safe it was, in their shoes, to families of believers, so they could get just a couple of verses. And as I was thinking about being a doer of the word, I thought, you know, if we just had 2 or 3 verses, if that's all we knew, but we took those verses and we really, truly believed in them and we acted upon them, what difference would that make? It's not about how much Bible you know, it's whether you apply what you know, whether you trust what you know and live it out. Fortunately, I've learned a little bit since my freshman year at Barclay. And that's the great thing about walking with the Lord, right? We learn more and we can apply more. He transforms us more and more, day by day. But I think at this point, all of us know something, right? Whether it's just John 3:16 or even just Jesus wept, we know something. We know some truth. And Soren Kierkegaard has something to say about that. He says, the Bible is very easy to understand, but we Christians are a bunch of scheming swindlers. We pretend to be unable to understand it because we know very well that the minute we understand, we are obliged to act accordingly. It's one thing not to know. Because if you don't know, you can't really apply it, right? You're kind of off the hook. But we know. You guys are at Barclay College. You get hefty portions of truth every day. So you really can't leave here and say, I didn't know. God desires to sow his message into our hearts, so that we can begin to live it out. James concludes this section of Scripture with the idea of looking intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, and then continuing in it. We can take the Scriptures and take this piece of James and really very easily make it about a checklist, right? The Bible says that I got to do it. Check it off the list. But the reality is that the Word is supposed to give us freedom, to release us from bondage, to release us from having to have this checklist of things. It's not meant to hinder you or to shackle you, but to free you. To free you to become the people that God created you to be. There was a time where I didn't understand this, and it was even after I left Berklee College. Some of you guys know Kevin Mortimer. When I left Berklee College, I went to Middle River Friends Church, where Kevin was the pastor, and I was the youth pastor. And I sat in Kevin's office probably like the second or third day that I was there, and I walked in kind of expecting him to give me the checklist. Like, these are the things that we really want you to accomplish as the youth pastor here. This is how we want you to do them. This is how we measure success. This is how we know that you need improvement. And he didn't do any of that, and I was a little frustrated. Instead, I don't know if you remember this, Kevin, but I sat right there, and Kevin said, I want you to figure out who God created you to be. I want you to figure out how God gifted Manny to do youth ministry at Middle River Friends Church. At the time, I didn't realize how great of a gift that was. As a matter of fact, I made a phone call to a friend of mine like the very next day, frustrated. I wish this guy would just tell me what to do. But looking back, that was one of the greatest things a friend or a mentor has ever done for me. So I want to give you the same challenge today. Don't look at your spiritual walk, as your journey with Christ, at your ministry training or ministry in general, as a checklist. Instead, spend time with the living God. Sit at his feet. Seek his face. Allow him to reveal to you more and more each day who he created you to be, how he created you to do ministry. Because the way you do it might not be the same way that somebody else would do it. Find that freedom that comes from the living Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word that challenges us, that calls us to life, that draws us to you, that allows your character and will to be revealed to us so that we might walk with you in real and life-changing ways. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't feel shackled or enslaved by your Word, but that it would set us free. That we would find freedom to try new things, to explore our gifting, to fail from time to time, so that we might lift you up, that all may be drawn to you, that you would be glorified above all else. Lord, I think most of us here can sit here and know that you've had a life-changing impact in who we are and the way that we view and live life. Lord, I pray through our continued training, through our continued walking with you, that we might impact someone else to have that same realization, that you desire them, that you love them, that you're calling them to more than this world has to offer. Lord, I thank you for this place, Berklee College, and the teachers and faculty and staff and all the students. Lord, I pray that you would continue to train and equip them and release them into your kingdom. They would have an impact on the world for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do have one last thing that I wanted to share with you before I go. It's a little commercial on behalf of Evangelical Friends Church Mid-America Yearly Meeting. That's a really long name. But we are doing a summer internship. This is kind of our pilot program for what we're calling the Journey Internship. This is for students that have completed their freshman year of college, so all of you should qualify. It starts this summer, May 28th, I believe, is the start date. And what it is basically it's a missional living internship. We are going to find an apartment somewhere in Wichita, and we're going to put the interns in that apartment, and the goal is just to release them for ministry right there where the apartment's located in the neighborhood. You'll have coaches and mentors and different people that are helping train and equip you, but really the gist of it is that you are going to be serving and living out the mission of the gospel right there where you live. And so there's a lot more information on tribeoffriends.org is the website. There's a little tab at the top that says Summer Internship 2015. If you click on that, there's an application on there that is actually live and ready to go now. I'll be hanging around the rest of the day. I'm hanging with Jesse's class this afternoon, so I'll be at lunch and stuff like that. If you have more questions, like to talk to me about it, I'd be glad to try to answer those for you. So just one of the many opportunities that I'm sure you'll have as the year goes on, but this is something that we wanted to put in front of you so that you can pray about it and consider it. So, thank you.
Grace and peace. You're dismissed.